Amen. Thank you, Clay, so much. Great job. We appreciate that. And very nice. Real blessing this evening. Take your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 1 through 8. And we'll also be turning back a few chapters, a few pages over the book of John during our message, so you might be ready for that. Acts chapter 1, very familiar passage, and the events here we're all familiar with, beginning of the early church, and Jesus' instructions to his people. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for our time together here tonight. Lord, bless everyone here in our service and the other activities here on our campus. God, I pray that I will decrease and you will increase. Pray that you give me the words to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Alfred Bernard Noble, or Nobel, was a chemist, an engineer, and an inventor from Stockholm, Sweden. During the mid-1800s, Nobel made many scientific discoveries and inventions. During his lifetime, he obtained 355 patents, but his most well-known discovery was made in 1866. He invented something that was more powerful than anything else that existed at that time. Nobel had a friend that was a Greek scholar and an expert in the Greek language. Nobel asked his friend, what was a Greek word for the term explosive power? His friend told him that the Greek word was dunamis. So Nobel called his invention dynamite. Dunamis is a Greek word that appears 177 times in the New Testament. As Nobel's friend said, it means explosive power. Strong's Bible Concordance says that it also can be translated to mean miraculous power. It means a force or a mighty ability. Here in verse 8, Jesus uses that very word, dunamis, to describe or in reference to the Holy Spirit. He uses the word dunamis, or explosive power, in reference to the Holy Spirit. So the title of our lesson tonight, explosive power. Notice three things here in this passage. First of all, let's talk about the promise of the power. The promise of the power. Look at the first part of verse 8. Notice what it says. Jesus there speaking to his disciples, he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now we know the four Gospels tells us that Jesus came into this world, was born into this world, was crucified on a cross for our sins. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended into heaven. But we see that just before he ascended into heaven, Jesus met with his disciples, or it says here, was assembled with his disciples, and he gave them some instructions. Look at verse 4 and 5, and let's notice what it says there. Preceding verse 8, notice verse 4. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. Notice this, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So Jesus is saying there, guys, everybody just hang out right here in Jerusalem. Everybody just stay put and wait for the arrival of the Holy Spirit. Jesus ascended back into heaven. The Holy Spirit came down, and the New Testament church was born. These disciples, on that day of Pentecost, they received that explosive power of the Holy Spirit, and as a result, they were able to change the world. Listen. The power of the Holy Spirit was not designated just for the early church. Amen? The power of the Holy Spirit was not designated just for the early church. It was not just for those few disciples before or after Jesus ascended into heaven. We have that same Holy Spirit, dunamis power, available to us as believers today. The Bible teaches that every Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You know, I did a series some time ago, a Wednesday night series, about the different things that happens in a person's life at that moment of salvation. It's amazing to me just how many different things take place at that moment of salvation. But one of the things that happens in a new believer's life when a person accepts Jesus as their personal Savior, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit comes into that person and indwells that person, takes up residence inside of that person. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this, Paul speaking, he says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit," listen to this, "who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own." Paul says there, do you not know that if you've been saved, that the Holy Spirit is in you as a gift from God? So each one of us has that Holy Spirit power. Each one of us as believers has that Holy Spirit explosive power, that miraculous power that is available to each one of us. So notice, let's part right here and let's talk about three things. Notice three things here in your outline. Notice three things about this power. Notice, first of all, this power is personal. This power is personal. Listen, we know this, my Wednesday night Bible scholars. We know that the Holy Spirit, it's not an it, right? The Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is not some cosmic ghost. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's the third person of the Trinity, amen? God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. Hold your place here at Acts 1. I want us to turn back now, if you will, if we can for just a moment, over to John 14. Go with me to John chapter 14. Hold your place there in Acts 1. We see Jesus here speaking, and he's actually talking to Philip here, and he talks about the subject of the Holy Spirit. Notice John 14. Look at verse 16. Let's lead into it, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Notice verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another what? Helper or comforter. He's speaking now of the Holy Spirit, and he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, here it is, because it neither sees him or knows him. Now, but you know him, for he dwells with you. He dwells with you and will be in you. Listen, we have a promise of a permanent, personal, powerful presence of the Holy Spirit. Notice what Jesus is saying here. He's saying that the Holy Spirit has a twofold responsibility. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and he takes up residence, what does he say? In you. So he is in each one of you if you're saved. And Jesus also says that he will be among you. He'll be among you. I would to God, my Wednesday night friends, I would to God that the churches of America today would get a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Listen, it's been said that the churches of America today will not get full until the people in the church get full of the Holy Ghost. Y'all don't hear me this evening, do you? Am I right? We need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit in our churches today. We need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit in each one of us. I need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit, bless God. Amen? Richard prayed in his prayer a moment ago, talking about the Holy Spirit being among us and doing a work in our lives. That is exactly what we need. He is in us and among us, Jesus says. Jesus says here that the Holy Spirit is a person and he will always be with you and in you. His work is personal. Listen, I want to make this point. Listen, there's a misconception out there about the Holy Spirit. You know, some of our friends say that they want more of the Holy Spirit. If I just had more of the Holy Spirit. My friend, when you got saved, you got all the Holy Spirit you're going to get, amen? Because he's a person and he comes into you 100%. The key is that if we give ourselves fully to him, the Holy Spirit, not desiring more of the Holy Spirit, we have all of the Holy Spirit. The desire is for us to give more of ourselves to him. So we see here that, first of all, this power is personal. And number two, real quick, I want you to notice this power is spiritual. Spiritual. We can backtrack a few more chapters in the book of John over to John chapter 3. We know this story as well. This is the story of Jesus and Nicodemus having a conversation here. Jesus is explaining salvation to Nicodemus. I want us to look at verse 6. John 3, verse 6. Jesus talking to Nicodemus here, and he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Jesus had told Nicodemus, listen, you've got to be born again to get into heaven. And Nicodemus didn't quite understand it. How can a man be born again? And Jesus differentiates between the two. That is born of the flesh, that physical birth is of the flesh. That's physical. But that is born of the Spirit, that moment of being reborn or born again, as we call it, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is a spiritual, supernatural act of the Holy Spirit. So we see here that three things about this power. This power is personal. This power is spiritual. And number three, this power is transformational. This power is transformational. When we got saved, the Holy Spirit transformed us from being a sinner to a saint. Amen. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Transformed from a sinner to a saint. We go from being an enemy of God to being a child of God. The Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts at that moment of salvation to be used in service to God. All because, listen, y'all look at me, look. Anybody in here that got saved by their own works? Anybody in here get saved by their own power? No, it was all the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, I want to give a little testimony, if I could. That's all right. With this, have breakout in testimony here on Wednesday night. Listen, I didn't always live for the Lord, amen? I was raised in a Christian home, accepted Jesus as my Savior when I was a kid, but high school days and college days, I was living in ways of the world. I drifted away from God. I left God, living the ways of the world. Then I started dating that beautiful woman right over there. Y'all laugh at that or do something. I know, we started dating. I'm full of the Holy Ghost tonight. Y'all notice that? We started dating. We started going to her home church. And I joined the church just because I thought it was the right thing to do. We were having a revival 1 week. And Kim at the time was working out of town, but I was going to those revival services by myself. And God was talking to me. God was dealing with me all week long. And on Thursday night of that revival week, whoo, they were given the invitation, people going forward, Holy Spirit moving, people at the altar crying and getting saved. And I said, God, he told me to go. And I said, I ain't going. Yeah, you need to go forward. I ain't going. And I stood there and argued with God about not going to the altar. And then all of a sudden, like that, God just knocked me to my knees right there where I was standing. And I started crying uncontrollably. Uncontrollably. I was so convicted about how I had been living for so many years, and it felt like I was coming clean. And it became a moment of total surrender for me that night. And here I am, some 20-something years later, standing before you preaching God's word. My point, that's the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Only he can do something like that. So we see here the transformational power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me, church, listen. The Holy Spirit can change lives. He can change families. The Holy Spirit can change churches and cities. And yes, the Holy Spirit can change nations if we would just simply submit to his power and authority. We read on here in the book of Acts. We see when the Holy Spirit came, that day of Pentecost, and how the Bible describes that arrival of the Holy Spirit as a mighty rushing wind. Oh, I would to God that same wind would sweep across America today. Amen? That's the only thing that's going to save our nation. That's the only thing that's going to get us right with God, is the Holy Spirit breathing afresh and sweeping across the churches of America. So we see here, we see the power is personal. It's spiritual and it's transformational. Here's a cross-reference verse for the transformational part, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, in the English language today, the word power is used in many different ways. We have electric power. We have nuclear power. We have solar power. Nations are called superpowers. In the world of economics, we hear about purchasing power. The lottery has power ball. Music has power ballads. Baseball has power hitters. NASCAR has horsepower. What we need today is Holy Ghost power. We need the explosive, transformational power of the Holy Spirit to come in a fresh, new way. The Holy Spirit is not something just for the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is with us today. It is a power that is available to each one of us today. So we see here not only the promise of the power, we see the purpose of the power. Look at the second part of verse 8 back over in Acts 1. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And notice this, and you shall be my witnesses to me. The Holy Spirit does many things in the life of a believer. The Holy Spirit teaches us when we study God's word and read God's word and hear God's word, it is the Holy Spirit that teaches us God's word. The Holy Spirit directs us. The Holy Spirit comforts us in our times of trouble. He helps us. But notice something here that, notice the context of what Jesus is saying in this verse. He is telling the disciples they're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. But notice the context of that statement. But you shall receive power, Holy Spirit power, and then he says, and you will be my witnesses. Jesus doesn't say that you're going to receive power and the Holy Spirit will lead you. The Holy Spirit will help you start a new church. The Holy Spirit will help you in dealing with the Roman Empire. He says, you're going to receive power, and then you're going to be my witnesses. We are given the Holy Spirit to empower us and to enable us to be a witness for Jesus. It's been said that a good witness is like a good salesman. The emphasis is on a person and not a product. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can live in such a way that the emphasis is on the person of Jesus. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be ready to give an answer to whoever asks about the hope that is in you. You know, I know that the number one reason that we don't witness to people or tell people about Jesus, or maybe even the number one witness we don't invite people to church, is because of fear of rejection. But you see, they're not rejecting us. If we tell them about Jesus and they disregard that, they're rejecting Jesus. But we're given the Holy Spirit power. The Holy Spirit is in us to help us overcome that fear. The Holy Spirit is in us to help, to give us the words to say, to guide us and direct us when we do witness to people or invite people to church or tell our testimony. So we see here the promise of the power. We see the purpose of the power. Number three, real quick, notice the place of the power. Look at the third part of verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, notice this, in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Jesus is declaring here that the gospel is to be told from right there in Jerusalem, where the disciples were, to the whole world. These instructions here were to be, they were to be witnesses there locally in the world in which they lived. And then they were to expand that to the region that Jerusalem is in, Judea, then Samaria, the northern region, north of Judea. And then, of course, as he says, to the end of the earth, around the world. How in the world would these disciples be able to do that in ancient days? How did they form the church and it spread like it did so fast with no internet, no TV, no radio? It was because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, I went home for lunch and I was on my way back here to the church after lunch, and I was sitting at the traffic light there on Highway 27, Walker Mountain Road, Highway 27, sitting there at the red light, and the traffic was going south. They had a green light and they were proceeding through the intersection. So I was just kind of sitting there waiting on the light to change, and I happened to notice something in a car that was coming through the intersection. It looked like it was maybe, I don't know, maybe a Ford Explorer or some kind of SUV like that. And they had their window down. And I happened to look and to notice something strange, something different sitting in the front passenger seat of this vehicle. There's a woman driving the vehicle coming through, and I look, the window's down, and sitting in the passenger seat in the front was a skeleton. Not a person wearing a skeleton suit, not some kind of skeleton dummy, it was a skeleton. And the window was down, and the car was going through the intersection, and the skeleton just had his head turned, looking out the window, you know, just enjoying the day. And the woman was just acting so natural and normal as she was driving her car, and Mr. Skeleton there in the passenger seat next to her. Listen, we have somebody that goes with us everywhere we go. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will come and he'll be with you, what? Forever. The Holy Spirit is alive, he is personal, he is spiritual and transformational, and he is inside of you. Oh, listen, if believers, if we would appropriate the power of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives, we could make an impact. Wherever we go, the Holy Spirit is in us, and we have his presence and his power to enable us to be what God wants us to be and to do what God wants us to do. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We just thank you for his power and authority, and thank you that he lives in us. Jesus said that he will be in you and he will be among you. God, help us to be aware of that. Help us to not dismiss the power and the authority and the person of the Holy Spirit. God, we just pray as we live our lives, Lord, we'll do it in a way that brings honor and glory to you. And I pray that under the leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we'll live in a way that pleases you. God, help us to be a witness for you wherever we go. Help us to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in us. And God, we just pray for our nation, pray for a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. God, that's the only thing that's gonna bring us back to you. And we pray that would take place. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.